Welcome to the Mystic Access Podcast, where the magic is in learning.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the April 16th, 2024 episode of the Mystic Access Podcast. She's Kim.
He's Chris.
And you better have your taxes done if you're in the U.S.
Or you're in big trouble today.
Tax day was yesterday. Speaking of tax, let's just rehash something real quick about accessible ways to do your taxes. I mean, I know it's a little, well, forget it. It's a little late.
If you missed that discussion, we have had it in the past.
We have.
We have.
I'm like, okay, by the next year, you'll forget.
We use TurboTax. That's just our preferred way. And because we have Mystic and other things too, we usually use a live person to do ours. And this year we got the most awesome tax preparer ever. We loved her. And it was just a great experience, but we've been doing this for years. So because our taxes can get complicated and they were, well, we thought they were going to be especially complicated this year, we always use a tax preparer through TurboTax. And before that, I always did my taxes myself through TurboTax and had really good luck with it, with accessibility. I know there are other methods out there. I don't know how far things like H&R have come or Tax Act or some of these other ones that are out there with accessibility. I found that for me, and I know for Chris too, with tax software, you just find what works. And if it continues to work, you use it, because otherwise you have to import all your stuff into the new thing. So, you know, it's the same as bookkeeping software. We kind of have the same philosophy there. So if you've missed our conversations in the past, you can go back through the archives. There's a search feature on our mysticaccesspodcast.com site. You can always search there for episodes of interest to you, and you should be able to find them pretty easily. So yeah, taxes need to be done.
So just a little reminder for next year. So about a week ago, 8 days ago, there was the eclipse.
Yes. We hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did.
And we did, and we were in the path of totality.
We were, along with 31 million of our closest friends.
Exactly. So what we ended up doing, because we're just going to talk a few seconds about what it was like to experience and what we did to experience the eclipse. So we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do. Did we want to listen to Buffalo's radio stations? Did we want to listen to the radio reading service? Did we want to connect with Ira? How did we want to deal with the eclipse? What we ended up doing was viewing the NASA feed on YouTube.
And we got really lucky because I found that the day of, literally like a couple hours before, and they were just starting the feed. I was actually watching that morning. We had had a NOVA episode released, for those of you who know the NOVA program on PBS. And we have watched the really cool episode they had put out about the total solar eclipse and eclipses in general. And we watched that, and then I found this live stream. And you can find all this on YouTube. It's all still there if you want to watch it and find it. But found this live stream. It was like a 29-minute or 27-minute or something live stream that they had done. And they mentioned the NASA feed. And I said, that's where we're going to go because it's all scientists. And as much as I have enjoyed DVRing a lot of these shows that have come out about the eclipse and things, I really wanted that point of view because it's one of the things that he and I love. So we love the science behind it and learning more. And we thought, this will be great. So we tuned into that, and we had it going on our Roku TV, and then we took my phone outside as we got closer to the time. I think we went out about 1:30, because total for us was at 3:18 totality. So we went out and had our eclipse shirts on. His mom bought us eclipse shirts, which are really cool, cool souvenirs of the whole thing. And so we had our eclipse shirts, and we went outside, and us and lots of our neighbors as well were out getting ready to view the eclipse. And we had our eclipse glasses, although turns out we really didn't need our eclipse glasses much because it was so cloudy here. But we did get a little bit of totality. The clouds parted for a bit and people got to see a little bit. But we had the NASA feed on my phone while we were watching, and they were just going through the path of totality. And you were getting to see all the different states and all the different places where they were. So the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and, you know, all these places that were getting totality, Mazatlan in Mexico. So it was very, very cool. And people were, you know, oohing and aahing and exclaiming over all the things and telling you what they saw. And it was very, very fun.
I did end up, for those that were interested, I didn't use it, but I did open the Eclipse Soundscapes app that we talked about in the last episode.
Yes. And thank you for those who sent feedback about that and told me that you weren't sure it was going to work on the eclipse day. I really appreciate hearing from you, and it was great to hear from some of you about this and places you had heard that it might not work.
It did work.
At least to a degree. We don't know what it did at totality, but it was counting down the time. So it was telling us everything, and we were able to go into and see, quote, first contact, quote. At least I think that's what it's called.
That's what it's called. And it did work, and it advanced me automatically to the next, quote, live event, quote, which was the totality.
Which, again, for us was 318, and it told us that.
Which we did not do because we were interested in the NASA channel, and we were doing our own little journal recording of that path so that we had it for our own records on what it was like at the time of.
Yeah, so that's a good thing to show you guys someday is the journal that we use. But you can do shared journals, and we really like that. And we really wish we'd had it when we got engaged because, you know, there's so much stuff during those months. But nevertheless, we didn't, and we used it for this because we knew it was one of those lifetime moments. And I have some light perception, especially in my left eye. My right eye is pretty useless at this point, but I still have some in my left. And it was really like, and the 2017 eclipse, we had almost totality in NC, where I was in 2017 for that eclipse. And it really is like Mother Nature shuts the light off. But especially for this one, I mean, it was dark. It went from twilight to midnight in a second. It was wild. The temperature probably dropped 10 degrees while we were out there. And it was pretty warm. What did we say it was? Do you remember what it was when we went out? Was it 70?
It was.
No, it wasn't 70. It was like
69. No, it was like 60, I think.
Yeah, closer to 60. And I think it was 53 when we came back in. So it dropped almost 10 degrees.
And it was fun. So basically, I was watching some stuff afterwards, and some of the local people. With the NASA feed, it was kind of not fun because Niagara Falls was supposed to be like the supreme place to see this eclipse, and they had NASA.
They were supposed to get pink rainbows, and it was supposed to be awesome, and we had so much cloud cover.
There was cloud cover, and they didn't even have...
But yes, they had NASA coverage.
Right, so...
You were going to say they didn't even have the telescope.
No, they didn't.
The telescope operator couldn't get a feed. I'm sure that broke her heart because she's trying so hard to get this feed. And we were the only place that did not have a feed.
The funny thing is, though, at Niagara Falls, the clouds did break at the time of totality. So people were able to see it.
They said they had about 10 seconds.
Right. But it's funny because even 10 miles away or 5 miles away, other people, the clouds broke just before totality and people were able to see the entire thing. So it really just literally depends on at that point where you were on the planet, you know, in this area at the time as to what you were going to see. The pity of Niagara Falls, one of the seven wonders of the world, you couldn't see it there. Mm-mm. Too good.
No. And about 1 million people came into the city for this. I mean, this was a huge deal here, as I know it was in many, many other cities across the path of totality. But we're really glad we use the NASA feed. You can still watch it if you want to find it on YouTube. If you type in like NASA eclipse, you'll find it. It's a little over 3 hours. It's like 3 hours and 8 minutes or something. And you can watch the entire feed. It's not quite as cool as watching it live, but it is very cool. And of course, there were many, many other events as well that showed it. And I would have been curious to know what our radio reading service did here, but wasn't able to find out about that. I wasn't able to find any kind of replay or archive or anything of that nature. But it was very cool.
We were about 90 seconds or so ahead of the feed. Obviously, it makes sense because you're streaming. So you're always going to be behind. It's not like terrestrial radio where, you know, you're right there. So we were about 90 seconds ahead and you could totally feel the temperature drop. It's like Kim said that the lights turned off and then the lights turned back on and people were amazed by the darkness and how fast it just went away and how fast it came back. So people were really impressed by that. They started shooting off fireworks.
So much for getting the natural ambience. You know, we mentioned before there were these scientific studies to see what kind of night critters that you were going to get when the eclipse happened, when totality happened. And we wouldn't have been able to test that even had we tried because we had fireworks.
So,
that was kind of a bummer. I mean, it was cool, but it was also kind of a bummer. Like, crap, you know, I wanted to hear bats and crickets.
Some people around here did see bats.
Yes.
So they did come out. Other people in more rural areas heard crickets. Somebody, I was listening to the radio feed from later, and some lady had her dog and she was grooming her horse at the time of totality because she wanted to see if the dog or the horse responded, which was kind of interesting.
Did they?
They did not. No. So that's our kind of eclipse update, and we just had a really great time.
We did. We'll do it again in 20 years, except we won't be in totality in 20 years.
Yeah, well, I think we'll move.
You think we'll move to the West Coast?
Sure.
A lot of you lucky ducks on the West Coast will get totality next time.
Yep.
Out in California. And well, actually, you got to be like in parts of Montana and I think North Dakota and places like that. So some of you will get it.
Right.
I don't know if it's going all the way to Cali.
I think it might. I think it starts there. But anyway, we'd have to figure that out at a different time.
We got 20 years to figure it out. We'll be okay.
So the next thing we want to talk about is a little thing that we found online. We are headphone nuts.
We haven't reviewed some headphones in a long time.
No. So Kim was online browsing Amazon as usual. And
thanks.
You're welcome. And
he acts like I'm the spender in this family.
We're not going to go there. So she found a pair of headphones. So, you know, we like our headphones. We like to change them up a little bit. We have a whole collection of headphones.
We do.
Sometimes two headphones.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, we found these headphones. They're called Sound Peats, like the name Pete.
But I think it's spelled P-E-E-T. Anyway, I'll put it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah.
When I'm doing post-production, I'll make sure I've got it spelled right for you guys. I'll put it in here.
Right.
It's Sound, capital Sound, S-O-U-N-D, no space, and all caps, P-E-A-T-S. That's what you're looking for. And they're the Sound Peats Space headphones. Those are the ones we got.
So the interesting thing about these headphones and their over-the-ear headphones.
Definitely over-the-ear. So if you have a problem with on-ear and definitely want over-the-ear, these will fit the bill.
Right. The cool thing about them is they have 120 hours of battery life.
Crazy.
Between charges. Charge of 10 minutes will give you 12 hours, which is nuts.
We haven't touched them. We have not plugged either of our pairs into a charger, and it's USB-C, of course, these days. And we've had them for close to a week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
And I've left mine on overnight.
He always does that. That drives me nuts, but he does that all the time.
They don't shut off, so that's kind of how that works. But their mode where you can listen to other people, the pass-through mode, is pretty amazing, actually. I've heard it. And the noise-canceling mode is actually quite good as well.
Actually, there was a review that said that the noise-canceling mode sounded warmer and richer than the regular mode, which is kind of interesting because usually noise-canceling, especially when you're listening to music, doesn't sound as good. This noise-canceling mode sounds awesome. You can totally use it in noise-canceling without feeling uncomfortable, at least I can, and I'm pretty sensitive to these kind of things. I almost always avoid noise-canceling mode unless I really, really need it because it just doesn't sound as good to me, and it sounds like there's pressure on your ears, and it feels like there's pressure on your ears, and I'm not into that. So usually I don't use noise-canceling, but I love it on these, and they really sound great in noise-canceling mode to my ear. They'll only give you about half the charge time if you leave it on noise-canceling mode, but still you're looking at like 60-plus hours. That's insane.
And you change those modes by pressing the button on the left ear cup.
There's only one button on the left ear cup. That makes it really easy. That changes your modes.
Mm-hmm.
And you just press. You don't have to do anything fancy. You just press, and it'll change them. And you have the voice that will tell you.
Yes, and she sounds like she's the girl in the cave.
The girl in the cave. Yes, indeed. She definitely has an echo effect. I'm going to try and turn these on close to the headphones.
I doubt she'll be able to hear it.
We'll see, but I'm going to try.
Power on. Connect.
So
you can, but you can't hear the echo. Maybe post-production will raise that up
a
little
maybe
bit.
Post I can raise that up, and then I'll show you. It does take a minute to power her off, but you get the echo there as well. Turning it off, pressing and holding.
Power off.
And there's power off. So that's the little voice.
That one you actually got the nice little echo.
Yeah, you get an idea of what the voice sounds like. So those are the things she'll say to you aside from changing the mode. I didn't show you that, but she'll change the mode for you. The way these look is they're really comfy padded ear cups. They have 40-millimeter drivers. They have a metal headband through the middle of the top. And the headband is actually pretty cushy. I tend to be a stickler for a cushy headband. I really like these. This is quite cushy. It's a nice kind of pleatherish covering for the bottom of the headband and the ear cups. The left-hand side has your USB-C charging port, and right next to that is your mode button to change your modes. The right hand, at the exact same spot on the bottom where the USB-C is on the left, on the right-hand side is a 3.5 millimeter plug, so you can use these wired. If you move up from that, you have your power and play pause key. So you'll press and hold for power, turn it on and off, or you'll press, obviously, for play or pause. And then above that, you have a long key, and these are all skinny keys. They're rectangular, skinny keys. They're just little keys, but they're big enough for you to press, certainly. They're not chunky. I mean, they're skinny. So if you move up to the one that changes tracks and volumes, it's one long rocker key with a dot on the top and a dot on the bottom. So it makes it really easy. You'll press for volume. So press up to turn your volume up. Press down to turn your volume down. And if you press and hold, it will change from track to track. So down goes previous, up goes next. But there's something kind of interesting about how play pause and the rocker switch work.
I just wanted to mention, too, if you're listening to a podcasting app and you press and hold the buttons, they will go whatever designation you have to rewind and fast forward within the podcast episode. They won't go to the next or previous episode. That's how all Bluetooth headphones really work with podcasting apps. They don't go to the next episode. But there is a little sound that plays, a little bleep sound that plays when you hit play pause or when you go to the next track or the previous track, for example. Personally, I like it. It lets me know that, yes, the button did engage. So you get that little bleep sound.
I don't know if I like it, because if I play pause or if I move to the previous or next track, sometimes it cuts off the first second of the track that I'm listening to. That annoys me.
I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. When I go from track to track, it just goes to the next track and starts playing it. So it'll be interesting to really compare and see what's going on. We're also using two different phones. So
that's true. It may be something different in your hardware versus mine. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what's up with that. But yeah, I notice it. Now, there is an app. There is a SoundPeats app. And I don't know. That's one thing I haven't looked at in the app yet. The app is passable, but just barely. And it allows you to change your treble and your bass, and there's all kinds of little EQ settings in there. There's several of those to choose from. I did change mine from their classic EQ to something I think called electronic. I think that's the one I'm using. And I really like it. That's kind of the way I like to listen. To me, it just brings out the highs and the bass a little better. So that's what I like. And you have to do that in the app. There's no way to do it without the app. But it's a little crazy because you have to register for the app. And the process was not straightforward.
No. So why didn't your first name, your last name, your email address, and a password, I believe, but somewhere in that registration was a code. So they wanted you to send the code. So you kept hitting subscribe or create account or whatever.
Send code, something.
And it wouldn't let you in. And then it actually sent you an email with the code in it. So that was kind of a weird registration process.
Yeah, I'm grateful I got it done.
That could have been better.
That definitely could have been better. The thing about these is the battery life and the noise canceling are both quite excellent. These are not great if you want to go on, say, Zoom calls or something like that. You're going to sound pretty tinny. So keep that in mind. You could find better for that. In the box, in addition to the headphones, you're going to get two cables. One is a really short, chintzy little USB-C to USB-A cable so you can charge. It's really short. It's not as chintzy in terms of make as some that I've seen, but it's really short, y'all. However, you also get a 3.5 to 3.5 cable so that you can plug one end into headphones and one end into something with a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, like your stream or other players that you may have. And it is not chintzy at all. It's nice and long and really, really nice, really well made. So at least that is a plus. You do not get any kind of little carrying pouch. However, we will be talking about a possible one to check out in an upcoming episode. But these headphones are a little over $50, and they really should probably be closer to $100. I mean, they're very good.
The regular $79, they had a coupon. Again, we like our coupons.
We like our coupons. Definitely check and see what coupons are available for you when you're checking, especially Amazon, things like that, or Etsy, you know, some of these sites that offer lots of coupons. So, you know, definitely check. They are kind of plasticky, and especially on the top of the band, they're definitely plasticky, and they're, you know, all the way around. But they're very nice in terms of what they do. We got the white ones and really like them. Apparently, they're very pretty, and they're just really nice headphones. For the most part, I'm very happy, except for that donk sound. But like I said, you might be able to turn that off in the app. I haven't checked that part to see if that makes any difference. But she's definitely the girl in the cave. They connect very quickly. I think it's 5.3
yeah,
Bluetooth.
It's one of the higher end versions of Bluetooth. Yes.
Definitely. The other thing is they work really well wired. I've been using them with my stream and they work great. There's no problems whatsoever. Just plug and play.
Don't misunderstand. They are not like Bose quality.
No. Your Bose are a whole different thing.
Your AirPods are a whole different thing.
You're not looking at that kind of quality, but they're very good. We really like our Creative Labs, and these are every bit as good as those.
Speaking of Apple AirPods. So
good segue, babe. Good segue.
Yes, yes, yes. So the quality or the curiosity in me was like, well, this company has earbuds, and I don't mind earbuds sometimes. And so I found a pair that they had app control and the gaming mode. There's a gaming mode on those. So I bought those. I wanted to see what they were like. And they were about $53 total with coupon. They have 53 hours of battery life. And of course, that's within the case. You know, you put earbuds in cases, and that's how you get these like extreme hours of battery life. But they're touch. I haven't quite figured them out completely. They do have the little bong sound. I'm able to lay down and sleep with them sort of comfortably. They're not as good as a dedicated sleep headphone. But the funny thing is they look like AirPods with the stems. So just an idea if you're looking for an inexpensive earbud, you know, these might do the trick too. The next thing we can talk about here, you know, we kind of go back to the Eclipse thing. We can talk about news. Now, we talked about news apps in the past. I know we've showed Smart News, which is a pretty good app, pretty accessible. There's also services like Apple News has their own news aggregation service. And there's another one called Newsbreak. For me, if I use Newsbreak, which does very good at notifications and stuff, being localized in your area and giving you headlines of that kind of thing in your local area, or at least our local area. But it has too many ads in it. You click a link in a notification and it goes into the app and it will pop up an ad that you now have to close before you can even read the article. It's not like the ads are within the articles, but the other one that we have recently discovered also is Spectrum News. Kim, why do you like Spectrum News?
I like it for so many reasons. I can really customize what I see so I can pick things of interest to me. It's an election year, y'all. Sometimes some things are just too much. So I can pick what is of interest to me and worry about the rest when I actually either want to watch a broadcast or specifically search for that information. Anyway, it will curate a feed just for me, based on topics that I choose, which I think is very cool. So you can really drill down to the type of news you want to see. That's really cool. You can go and see a weather forecast in the app at any time, which is also great. So you can see your local weather. But my favorite thing about Spectrum News is they have live content, live news stations, I guess, all over the country. That's really not true. I say all over the country, but there are probably only about a dozen states. Here are the states that are covered. Kentucky, Massachusetts, New York, and you've got regions all across these states. So like in New York, for instance, you've got New York City, you've got our area, the Buffalo area, and you've got lots of others as well. Other states are North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, California, Texas, and Wisconsin. So those are the states, and depending on what part of the state you're in, you may have a dedicated news channel that focuses on your local news. So I got really lucky because I can watch news from my home state, and not only from my home state, but from the mountain region of my home state. And a lot of times the mountain region of my home state gets ignored. So it's really fun to have a mountain region news feed where I can find out what's going on, not really in my hometown, but in my home area for sure. So that's awesome. And they're 24-hour feeds. And I know they show some rebroadcasts of shows like during the night and things like that, but you can watch stuff 24 hours a day. It's kind of like headline news, so you're not getting the commentary. You're not getting, you know, people screaming at each other about what they think, you know, so it's not editorializing. It's very much, here's what's going on and, you know, on to the next story and here's an interview and on to the next story and whatever. So I really like that and really like the fact that you'll give me a quick summary of stories. In fact, they have like a 90-second summary of what's going on. And can tell you what's going on, you know, like every hour, every couple hours, and give you it really quick. So you can find out and then go about your day and then maybe watch again later for a few minutes. that it's very pleasant. And the personalities are very pleasant. I've found a lot of people who I just really like to watch. They're just pleasant. They're nice to listen to. And, you know, they seem to just be very personable. And of course, that's your job when you're a news anchor. But as we know, some people are more personable than others. So it's a fun experience. And again, I really like the fact that you can go through all these news feeds. Not only can you see your local area, but at least here in New York, we have like an all across the state and country feed. I forget what it's called. Do you remember what it's called? You know what I'm talking about, though.
I do. Yeah.
There is like a main feed where you can find out what's going on all around the state and watch that. And I think that's, you know, they've all got national news and international news as well. So you have the ability to check those out. You have to be a Spectrum customer. You can try it out for 30 days without being a Spectrum customer, but I don't know if you can do it if you don't have access to Spectrum. So I don't know how that would work. You'd probably have to make a phone call and say, you know, is there a way I can get Spectrum news? But I think you must have Spectrum internet to get Spectrum news. A lot of the Spectrum stuff, for better or worse, is really tied in together. You must have Spectrum, what is it? Is it Spectrum internet to get Spectrum mobile? Is that how it works?
Yes.
And then you must have Spectrum internet to get Spectrum TV. So internet is kind of the baseline for your Spectrum. If you have that, you can get other things built on top, but it's your foundation. So again, for better or worse. But I really like this news thing. The only thing I wish you could do different in the app is favorite additional live feeds. So you can go back to your local channel. And let's say you had a favorites list of a couple others in this country that you wanted to watch regularly instead of me having to find North Carolina and then find my mountain region feed. But that's a small quibble. Otherwise, I think it's amazing. There are a lot of apps I really like, though. I really like Apple News. Again, we pay for Apple News, but you don't get the ads and crap. And sometimes, especially in a news feed, I am happy to get rid of ads because they will drive you nuts. And I don't know. Chris was saying something this morning. I think you should tell them what you were telling me, because I think you're right.
Yeah, ads these days I see are getting more obtrusive. If you're reading an article, for example, I did this the other day, and the ad just kind of popped up, and I got focused away from where I was reading, and then the ad, I continued past that ad, and then a couple seconds later, another ad popped up, and it was, you know, again, in your face again. So I think ads might be getting a little bit more intrusive than just being a part of an article.
I was doing that the other day. I was reading something on Healthline, and I couldn't find my article for all the ads. It took me forever to get the ad closed so I could read my article. Now, some browsers allow you to compensate for that. I know Edge has Immersive Reader. It doesn't work for every page, but it works for some of them, and it's awesome. And you can find browser extensions, perhaps, to help with that as well. I don't really know what's good and what works because I'm an Edge user primarily, although I have other browsers installed if I need them. So that's something to consider as well. Other options include RSS readers. So if you have something like the old reader, which works cross-platform, you could use something like that. There are other RSS readers. The problem with RSS readers is often getting stuff into the RSS reader. And they've been around for a very long time. They're a good way to aggregate news, but sometimes it's a little tricky to find content. Now, there are programs built to help with this. Again, the old reader being one of them. You've got radio options. You've got voice assistants like Alexa. You can have her tell you news. And if you can get into the app, you can set your preferences for news, or you can ask for news from a specific publication and have her play it for you that way. Now, I'm going to use the name ECHO, because that's what mine is called, because we have a million in this house, and I'm going to reverse it so it's going to sound a little weird so it won't set all yours off if yours is named ECHO as well. Okay. Play on this day in history. So I just asked for this, and it's reading with text-to-speech. There's one that I wanted to hear that's actually audio, and it may be gone. The issue you find with these is that a lot of times things come and things go. That's problematic. Okay. Play WLOS. Now, when I did that, it's continuing, and I know you can't hear this, but it's continuing to play my history today. Okay. Play WLOS News. And it says, sorry, the history skill can't help you with that yet, so I need to close the skill. Exit. Okay. Stop. Okay. Play WLOS News. Now that worked, and I did get an audio feed. I am listening to one of the local guys at the news station give me news from there. So you can do things like that. There are podcasts that are news focused, so you can find those that speak to you specifically. And again, podcasts are a good way to filter out the news you don't want. So if you're not into sports, for instance, if there are certain things you don't want to hear about, you don't have to. So you can really pick and choose. But some of the issue here is you kind of have to know what you want. If you can access an app or a website, it will give you better control over, for instance, Alexa options that you can choose. And then you can curate your news. So you can tell her to play the news, and then you'll get options that you've curated in your app or via your computer, and you'll have that access as well. It's a little more difficult to curate when you're just using your voice, but as I just showed, you can do it, but you have to know what you want to play. And of course, there's always audio news sources as well, and we all have our favorites for that. But a lot of times your ALEXA can assist you in finding those if you have her. And next podcast, we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into radio reading services, because I discovered our radio reading service kind of by accident up here and have really been enjoying a lot of what they offer. We have some readers here locally. Man, they should be reading for Bard. I mean, they're awesome. Just very passionate readers. We'll talk more about that in the next podcast, kind of bridging off of this topic and sharing a little more about that experience, because there are many of those across the country and we'll spotlight a few. So we will see you guys the last day of April. In the meantime, happy spring. Enjoy your hopefully warming temperatures and everything getting sunny and green where you are. Hope that's the case for you. Hope you get to get out and enjoy some of it. And if you're still feeling the effects of this celestial event, enjoy and have a great 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
The preceding podcast is a presentation of Mystic Access, where the magic is in learning. If you are blind or visually impaired and wish to experience less stress and more fun on your unique assistive technology journey, our comprehensive audio documentation and additional offerings are here to support you. We welcome your visit at mysticaccess.com. That's mysticaccess.com. Have a question or wish to place an order via phone? Call us at 716-543-3323. If you have comments to share about this episode, follow our phone menu prompts to reach our Mystic Access podcast comment line. Email us at info@mysticaccess.com and connect with us on social media, Mastodon, mysticaccess.online, and facebook.com/mysticaccessempower. Would you like to spread the word about our podcasts? Anyone may explore our extensive archives and subscribe to receive our bi-weekly episodes at mysticaccesspodcast.com. If you enjoy our content, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for spreading the word and for being a listener. We hope you enjoyed this episode.